July is the month that a lot of doctors finish their schooling. If you're not familiar with it, July is also the month when a lot of residents begin to care for patients on their own without additional supervision. It is for these reasons that some have said that July is the very worst month to go to the hospital and get treatment. If you want to have a medical procedure, if you need to go to the emergency room, pray that it is not the month of July. Studies vary on whether or not this is actually the case, but there actually is something that is referred to as the July effect. There are some people who believe, people in the medical community, who believe that July is typically the month where you find the most medical complications, most medical errors, and so forth. When it comes to someone performing some kind of medical operation on us, medical procedure, perhaps an operation, perhaps not, or perhaps making a medical decision that involves us, we generally want someone who has experience. We generally want someone who has worked on some others, so to speak. Now, not all novices in the medical world may bother us or scare us, but some might. Suppose that one day we need a brain surgery, and the surgeon comes in before the procedure and says, "Well, I just graduated yesterday, and you're my first patient." I dare say that most of us would probably be at least a tad concerned about him operating on us. In the Bible, we find the word novice. This word is used in conjunction with elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. If you were to use a more modern translation, the New American Standard would use the expression new convert. Paul said an elder is not to be a novice. An elder is not to be a new convert. The word from which we get novice or new convert is found just one time in the New Testament, and this time is here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Even though this word is used just one time, I think it's clear it's not difficult to understand why Paul listed this qualification. When we look at the scriptures, we find that God describes Christians in basically one of two ways. He says there are some Christians who are mature Christians. There are Christians who are seasoned. There are some Christians who are fairly skilled when it comes to the Word of God. The other major classification would be people who are immature. And by using the word immature, I do not mean that people are immature in the sense of age. Neither do I mean that people are immature in the sense of behavior. I simply mean that by immature, when it comes to the Bible, this second kind of individual is someone who is less familiar with the Scriptures. Their spiritual maturity is not going to be as significant, it's not going to be as advanced as someone else. When we begin to look at the Scriptures and think about this topic, the Bible offers a lot of information as far as a contrast between the Christian who is mature and the Christian who is not. The subject is dealt with at length in several passages. I'm going to read just one text this morning. This is going to come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, but also use a number of other passages as far as references to demonstrate what the Bible says about maturity versus immaturity and why that's so important when it comes to elders. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. This author said of whom, "We have many things to say, hard of interpretation." And here's the reason that it was difficult. He says, "You are become dull of hearing." You don't want to hear anymore. "For when by reason of the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Then verse 14. "But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." We don't know who wrote this book, but we do know that in the four verses just read, we do know that the person was making a critical point, and that is God expects his people. After someone becomes a Christian, God expects his people to mature. God expects his people to grow. And God expects that growth and maturity to reach the point where the one who has become a Christian will eventually be able to teach others. Now, that teaching can take different forms. In the early years, a person might learn enough to know that, well, there are some tracts, and I can read through those tracts and make sure that the information is consistent with the Scriptures, and I can pass that tract along to someone else. As the years go by, a person becomes more and more mature. A person reaches the point where he or she is able to go to the Bible, find some verses which deal with a particular topic, and present those verses to someone else and hopefully discuss them. In some way, and on some level, we become capable of sharing various parts of the Bible with others. The Hebrew writer, though, he was writing to some people who didn't want to teach others. He was writing to some people, as we heard from Hebrews 5, verses 11 and 12, they were dull of hearing. They didn't want to hear anymore. They didn't want to listen anymore. Here were some people who were content to be spiritual babies as they lived their Christian life. You see, rather than coming to a point where they were able to teach others, he said, "You want to be taught. You want to be passive. You want to sit back in the pew, so to speak, and be babied. The American Academy of Pediatrics, if you were to go and look at some of the things that they've written about children, they advise that by the age of one, a child should no longer be bottle fed. By the age of one, a child should be off the bottle. And if a child is not ready after 12 months to be off the Bible, off the bottle, it says that that may continue up to 18 months, go to a year and a half. Suppose a child wanted to be bottle fed, and I don't have a bottle with me this morning, I've got a sippy cup, but we're going to let the sippy cup stand for the bottle. But suppose that we have a child who says, I want the bottle, not until the age of one, not till the age of 18 months, but I want the bottle up to 5 years, Mom. Dad, when I'm 10 years old, when I'm 15 years old, when I'm 25, I still want the bottle. I need the nipple. Let me continue to take from the bottle. And when it comes time, when it's lunchtime for the factory worker, the truck shows up and he brings out his bottle. What would the co-worker say? What would we think if we were the other adult in the relationship? In the spiritual realm, God says, give up the bottle. You need it for a time. You need it for a period. But there needs to come a time when you give up the bottle. The nipple's got to go to somebody else. The milk is to be replaced by solid food. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, that is the more difficult information from the scriptures. And if a Christian still wants to be bottle fed after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 40 years later after conversion, something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong. Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, that an elder is not to be a new convert, someone who still needs the bottle. It's wrong, it's not right for an elder to serve as a new convert, because he does not know enough at the time. He's certainly not well-grounded in the faith. If a man is a novice, he's not in a position to properly protect, properly guard that local flock from error. He lacks the spiritual depth. He lacks the spiritual insight to help people with spiritual problems. An elder who's a new convert is not accustomed to taking God's word and being familiar with it to the point where he can help others deal with the issues of life. He may not understand. Being a novice, the distinctiveness of the Lord's church. Hopefully that was communicated to him before he became a Christian. But there are many who become Christians, and that's something that they may struggle with, or they need some time to learn before it really sinks in. When we think about new converts, there are some who are willing to grow. But when it comes to new converts, there are also some who are not willing to grow and perhaps struggle with the basics of the faith. But when we look at an elder, when a man is serving in this way in a local congregation, he should have the basics of the faith down pat. He should know that when it comes to becoming a Christian, there's a problem of sin. We break God's law. He should be able to show someone that faith, repentance, confession, baptism, these are the steps to becoming a Christian. He should know the basics when it comes to the church. He should be a man who knows at least a little something about the Bible being an inspired book. He should have some ability to defend the faith. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He should be able to explain why the Lord's Supper is taken on the Lord's Day, and that occurs week after week, Sunday after Sunday. He, if he's not a novice, should be able to explain why New Testament worship does not have new instrument of music is not authorized in New Testament worship. When it comes to moral issues, if he's involved in a conversation, maybe he's initiating the conversation, maybe he's answering someone in a conversation, but he should be able to address moral issues from the standpoint of the Bible. He should be able to discuss drunkenness, divorce, remarriage, and subjects in between the two. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 9, as Paul deals with some elders, he talks about grievous wolves who would enter into that Ephesian congregation, and he said, these wolves will not spare the flock. That tells me that elders are to be defenders. They are to be protectors in a local congregation. Those elders are to be the men who try to keep out the wolves, who fight them off, so to speak, if that's necessary. New converts are simply not equipped to engage in this kind of activity. When we begin to look at what the Bible says about elders, we're told that these men are to be the leaders in a local congregation. And as leaders in a local congregation, those elders are going to be called upon to make some decisions. Sometimes some very difficult decisions. Elders will face some circumstances where they're asked, is this authorized by the Bible? Or is this forbidden? Is this not authorized by the Bible? Elders may face a question, is this right or is this wrong? We're coming for spiritual advice. You're supposed to be a spiritual person. What does the Bible say? If a new convert, if someone who is a recent convert does not have the maturity that Paul describes in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, either because he's too new as far as his conversion, or because he's someone who's wanted that model all those years? How will he be in a position to decide what's right? Someone might say, well, I'm going to draw on my instincts. My instincts are good. I get that gut feeling, and I just go with my gut. Well, the gut can be helpful, but instincts do not determine truth. Another person says, well, I'm going to be all right because I am a wise person. I've lived for a long time, I've had many experiences, and I have a lot of common sense. I'm going to rely on human wisdom. Well, wisdom is not always the right course. Men may vote. They say, well, we're going to take a vote. And whatever we decide by vote, that's going to be the way that it is. Well, just because we have agreement within a group, whether that's a small group or a large group, agreement on something does not mean a decision is right. New converts do not have the spiritual maturity to make some of the decisions that need to be made. And I'll tell you this. If you talk to an elder, or you talk to men who have served as elders for a long time, if they're honest with you, if you ask them for a truthful answer, they will tell you that in the time that they have served as an elder, and they might be some of the most spiritually mature men you ever meet, they will tell you that they have had to struggle when it comes to some decisions. And it's true. Every congregation. I'd like you to imagine for just a moment a local congregation that's in an uproar. I mean, when it comes to worship, the time to assemble, people are just in a literal battle with one another. And the reason for the uproar is this. There's one man. He's an elder. He's in his upper 80s. He has some mental health problems, a little bit of dementia, can't always remember things, get some things fouled up. And this man's wife has just died. As you look at this congregation, it's got about 300 people. And there is a third, there are about 100 people in this congregation that are demanding that this fellow resign. Why? He's lost his wife. Mentally, he's not all quite there anymore. Then, in the middle, there's another group of 100 people. And they want this man to continue serving as an elder. Well, he's established his home, and he's shown that he's a good man, and yeah, he's not quite mentally as quick as he was a few years back, but we still want him to serve as an elder. And then you have the other 100 people of the 300. They're going back and forth on what to do. Well, some people feel this way, some people feel this way. We're getting mixed signals. What if we were one of the elders in this congregation? What would we do? How would we react? Would we say, well, this 100, that's the right way, this 100, that's the right way, or the remaining 100, that is the right way to go? Now, a new convert might have some ideas about what to do, but would those ideas be based in the Bible? Would someone, and the scenario that I just outlined is from J.J. Turner's book on elders, it poses some good scenarios, but you see, elders need to be men who have enough familiarity with the scriptures to look at God's word and say, all right, here are the circumstances. What passages can be applied? What principles can be applied? What examples can we go to see how to figure out with this issue? Somebody says, well, I don't think the Bible deals with it. Well, that's probably not a good answer. And it's probably not a good answer because Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 Peter 1:3, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, that seems to be a pretty comprehensive statement. If God's word has given us all things that pertain to life, plus godliness, then somehow we should be able to take the scriptures and find a solution to whatever problem arises. Paul made a similar statement in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul talked about the scriptures. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says, the scriptures, they make us complete. They give us what we need. A new convert is not seasoned enough with the Bible to use it with great effectiveness. God does not approve of using new converts for elders. Neither, as we think about an eldership, does God approve of an eldership where there is just one person. Now, there are some places that have tried to have an eldership with just one man. But when we look at the Bible, every time we read about elders or an eldership, it is described with the plural. We never read about a single elder serving or being in eldership. Neither do we find an example of one person being in eldership. The denominational world relies on what has often been referred to as a pastor system. And in that denominational system, that one man is typically some kind of head. That, though, is not the way that the Lord has set up the church. And there's great wisdom in God's plan. If you ever ask a man who has served as an elder or who is serving as an elder, I can almost assure you that he will say, I'm glad I am not serving, or I'm glad that I did not serve alone. And there's a reason for that. If you were to go back into the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, you would find from the 18th chapter, there was a time in Moses' life where he was sort of a one-man show. People had complaints. And the Bible says that Moses was serving as the arbitrator. There were people coming to Moses day to night, and Moses was just hearing case after case. There was issue after issue. And his father-in-law, Jethro, saw what was taking place, Exodus chapter 18. And one day he came to Moses and said, "You're being worn out. You can't continue. This is too much for you. The load is too heavy." And that's also true when it comes to serving as an elder. The load is too heavy. For the smartest man, for the hardest working man, it's too heavy for one person. And it's also a load which is too heavy, which is not right or not suitable for a novice, a new Christian. Now one might think, well, okay, I can understand why Paul said what he did when it comes to elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. No novice, no new convert. That makes perfect sense. However, how do we determine when a man moves from the state where he is a new convert, where he wants the bottle or needs the bottle, to a place where the man says, "I'm through with the bottle. I've now grown to a point where I am a mature saint"? Well, that question is going to vary from place to place. There is no particular point. There is no plateau where we can say you've reached this level and at level 6 or level 10 or this color belt, that color belt, you are now a mature Christian. The Bible simply doesn't describe spiritual maturity in those terms. So when we think about elders and a local congregation, when we look at someone and say, "Are you a new convert or are you not a new convert?" it is going to be a matter of judgment. And one judgment, one aspect of it, might involve how long a man has been a Christian. If he's been a Christian for 6 months, the chances are that he's been able to move from a new convert to a mature Christian is probably not all that likely. There have been some people who have been baptized, and after 25 years, they still want the milk. They still feel that anything beyond the milk of the word is going to be too difficult for them. But there have been some other cases where a man and a woman, but we're not talking about ladies today when it comes to elders, but a Christian is a new convert. And after 2 or 3 years, because of the zeal, because of the interest, because of the study, because of the emphasis that the person put on the Christian life, there's great, there's significant, there's wonderful maturity in 2 to 3 years. When we think about elders, they need to be people who have that spiritual, that Christian maturity. But when we look at the Bible, there's a broader message as well. The broader message is that maturity is not limited to someone who is an elder. You see, in the Bible, writer after writer talks to people who are on the milk and wanted to stay in the milk. And the Bible writer said, "Take that milk and put it down. You've been a Christian long enough. Spiritual infancy needs to pass for you." Paul, in the 1 Corinthians letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, told the Corinthians, "And I, brethren," he said, "I wanted to speak unto you in a spiritual way." But he said, "I couldn't do that. I wanted to give you the meat of the word," but he said, "I couldn't do that." And then he explained. He said, "You're still babes in Christ." He told them specifically, "I fed you with milk, not with meat, because you were not able to bear it." And then he said, "Not even now." How sad. How tragic. People should have grown. People should have matured past spiritual infancy. And yet Paul said, "You still want to be like spiritual babies." And that statement was not directed to elders. That statement was a general statement. It was a general indictment for this congregation. In the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul used the word full grown. And that's what God wants from his people. He wants them to be full grown. He wants them to mature. Just as we would find it wrong and odd for a child, unless there were some unusual set of circumstances, to treat a child as he or she grows as always a 2-year-old, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't treat a 10-year-old as a 2-year-old. We wouldn't treat an 18-year-old as a 2-year-old. But sometimes that's how people want to be treated in the spiritual realm. In that same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, perhaps indicating the depth of the problem, Paul in that 14th chapter, the 20th verse, said, "Be not children in mind." He knew that they were adult in body. But he said, "Don't be a child in mind. You need to grow up. Get some spiritual maturity. Take the Bible. Read it. Study it. Know it. Grow. The time for spiritual infancy is past." There were some other congregations where the same issue was an issue. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, as Paul wrote to that congregation, he said, "The time to be like children's past." He said, "You can be like kids that are just tossed to and fro. They believe this one day and they believe that way the next." He said, "Don't be like that. Don't be like a leaf that's tossed in the wind, carried about by every wind of doctrine." Both elders and Christians who really want to please God need to be people of conviction. Jesus, back in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 32, said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But that truth, it starts out with the milk of the word. But it advances, it grows into the meat of the word. When Christians began to take the milk of the word and the nourish by it, they need that in the early years. And then they begin to move beyond it. Then there's someone who can be referred to as a spiritual person. Mature, Galatians 6, verse 1. New converts, they need the bottle. Just as a small child needs the bottle, so new converts need the bottle. But an elder and a mature Christian has moved beyond the bottle. They take that bottle, not for themselves, but they take that bottle and try to help that bottle be used to nourish and help others grow. In our Christian life, this very day, where are we as a Christian? Have we been someone who has lived the Christian life, who became a Christian 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, more, and we still want the bottle? There are some people in the church who are like that. And if that's true for us, something's wrong. Something for us is seriously, seriously wrong. But if we're a newer Christian, maybe we've been a Christian for a year or a few months or less than 5 years, maybe even 5 years, and we still need the milk sometimes, that's all right. But God says, get to the point. Strive for the point. Work for the point where you're no longer on the milk. You're trying now, because of spiritual maturity, to share that milk with others. Two choices. Immature, mature. And we're not going to move from here to here. The immature to the mature category without some work. Study, trying to apply the Bible every day to our lives. We don't want spiritually immature elders. Neither do we want spiritually immature people in congregations, unless that's necessary. Where are we when it comes to the Christian life? On the bottle, because we need it. Or we've made the decision to leave the bottle behind because we want to know Christ, His richness, His fullness, and we want to be one of the most effective servants that we can. Let's think about the bottle and our relationship to it as we stand and sing the selected song.